What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Do not fix your YouTube screens. This is your boy Scott back. I am back off hiatus. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. I am recording this very early. It's 9:19 right now here in Chicago. A lot of stuff going on today. We've got this dropping. This will be dropping as soon as I edit this. We're going to throw this up on my YouTube page, so check it out. Well, obviously you're checking out if you're hearing my dumb ass talk, but we got I'm Not Gonna Hold You is back today. I'm Not Gonna Hold You Chicago Bears preview special that will be going live at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. on the West Coast. Me, Dante, Bang, Courtney, the entire crew, we're gonna be previewing the 2025 Chicago Bears. Now, of course, I'm gonna talk Chicago Bears with you guys today on this episode as well, but we'll get into our predictions, numbers, and shit like that with the whole crew. We'll be off on Monday because it is a holiday. It is Labor Day, so we won't be recording on Labor Day. But then we'll be back next Friday, and we'll be back to our full-time schedule on Monday, September 8th, and that's the twice-a-week schedule that we always do, Mondays and Fridays. But the Monday show, and we'll remind you, when we get close to it, will be a first take early morning type of edition because I have to cover Monday Night Football with the Bears playing the Vikings, so I will not be able to do the show at our usual time. So we're going to do a first take style recap the first Sunday in the NFL, so we're going to be doing that at like 10 a.m. on Monday, September 8th. Of course, I will remind you on the Friday show part, man. But it's your boy, Barb Chair Scott. If you're watching this, you know to follow me at Barb Chair Scott on all social media platforms. I appreciate everybody who has supported all of the off-season content that I did for the Bears training camp. You know, I did a couple reaction videos to things that was going on in the sports world with Scott React. So I appreciate y'all. If you are new to this channel, if you're new to me, just want to let you know, I live right next to a train. So sometimes my camera shakes a little bit, okay? And that's because I'm next to a train that feels like a damn earthquake, and there's nothing really I can do about that shit. I try to manage it as much as I can, but you can't change where you live for the most part. So if you see it shaking every now and then, just know it's that, okay? We're not doing, you know, shitty production here on purpose, man. But got a lot of stuff to get into today, man. I'm excited to get into with you guys today. A lot of sports stuff going on. I also have an episode of Soccer for Dummies, which is one of our newest segments that I'm Not Gonna Hold You that we added towards the end of last season with my introduction into the land of world football, man, which is a European football, which I have in the 6 months that I started watching become even a bigger fan, and my knowledge is pretty good. So I just came back from Brooklyn. I mean, not just Brooklyn, but from New York, period. Was in New York for a couple days shooting some stuff that we're going to be dropping around the World Cup. I'll just give you that. I won't tell you everything what the project's about. But while we were there, we were in the Brooklyn Soccer Park, and me and Tulsa decided, you know what? You know, Tulsa's not going to be, I'm not going to hold you this week. So let's do a Soccer for Dummies edition, man. So that's going to drop before that I'm Not Gonna Hold You Bears special. So I'm guessing I'll probably drop that right around 2:33. But you know, y'all get the alert when it's uploaded. And we talked about this week's upcoming matchups in the Premier League. I think we even talked a little La Liga, but check that out. I'm gonna upload that as soon as I'm done recording this. But let's get into it, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, we have to talk about the team that I hate more than anybody, the team that I hate more than Donald Trump himself, that is the Green Bay Packers, man. Green Bay Packers, I'm up here yesterday. Shout out to homie Pappy. We watching the Dallas Cowboys documentary, which I'll get into in a minute as well. And I got a text from Tosin, because I had been trolling Tosin about Manchester United being in hell. And he tweeted me, he texted me an Adam Schefter tweet with the caption, "Welcome to hell," in bold letters. And I saw it said, "Dallas Cowboys trade star pass rusher Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers for 2 first-round picks. Defensive lineman Frank Clark." Is it Frank Clark? I think, yes, Frank Clark. And he will be signing a new 4-year, $188 million deal, which gets him at $47 million a year, making him the highest paid non-quarterback player in NFL history, man. To say this hit me like a shot to the chest is an understatement. I do not like this. I've been trying to spin this in the Bears' favor for about the last 15 hours. I don't know how many hours ago it was, but this is not good, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a Bears fan, if you are a Detroit Lions fan, if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan, hell, if you're a fan of anybody in the NFC, this is not good news for you. This is a guy who is generational. This is a guy who might be the best player who has ever been traded in NFL history. And that might sound kind of crazy when I say it, but think about a lot of players who traded. A lot of these great players get traded when they're past their primes. You know, the Joe Montanas, Jalen Ramsey was a great one. He got traded. So that might be one. But Micah Parsons, in his 4 years, is a 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, and he has 55 sacks. 55 sacks in just 4 years. He's what, 25 years old? He's not even in his prime yet. So this, and I'm going to be non-biased on here because that's what I do, what I try to do on these platforms, even when it comes to shit like the Green Bay Packers. This is an awesome deal for them. I can't even stunt. I don't care about draft picks. I don't care about cap space. This is a big boy move. And shout out to the homie B-Dot. Y'all know B-Dot if y'all watch the show. He's always in the comments. But B-Dot is a big Packer fan. And he tweeted me maybe like an hour before the deal went down. I was tweeting about it because I saw what Michael Irvin said. And, you know, Adam Schefter actually tweeted that the Cowboys are actually taking calls now. Which in most cases would have sounded my alarm. I'm like, okay, a trade must be on the horizon. But the reason I didn't think that was going to happen was because we've seen this playbook with Jerry Jones too many times. I mean, we can go back 33, 34 years ago when he first did this with Emmitt Smith in 1992. And the Cowboys have to start 0-2 when they're defending their Super Bowl title just from the pay. Emmitt was, at the time, was a big contract, $13 million. In today's world, obviously, Emmitt will be getting paid way more money. He's a top 4, top 5 running back of all time, depending on where you have him. He did this with Tony Romo before, and he paid Tony Romo. He did this with Dak Prescott a couple years ago, and he paid Dak. He did this with CeeDee Lamb just last year, and he paid CeeDee Lamb. So I thought, okay, Jerry, he's doing the whole thing, wanting people to show that he's still Jerry Jones, and, you know, he beats to the rhythm of his own drum, and he runs this thing, and, you know, he's not going to cow down to no players. And then I thought this would be a deal that we'll probably get – probably would have got struck either the night before or the day of next week's opener against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. So I was not expecting this, and I especially wasn't expecting it to the Packers, because the Packers, for the most part, don't make trades like this. Obviously, you know, they've had big defensive moves where they signed Reggie White about 30 years ago when he was the first free agent, the first free agency in NFL history. They signed him from Philadelphia, which was a massive move. You know, they traded for Charles Woodson the year that they won the Super Bowl in 2010. But Charles Woodson wasn't the Charles Woodson that he was in Oakland. Still a great player. Trust me, I know. He didn't pick off Jay Cutler more times I can count in his time in Green Bay. He was Defensive Player of the Year his first year in Green Bay. He was a huge catalyst for them winning that Super Bowl. So I'm not here to downplay Charles Woodson. But this is different. This is a different caliber of player. Micah Parsons, you know, this Green Bay Packer team has had an issue with pass rushing, in my opinion, probably since Za'Darius Smith and, you know, Preston Smith left a couple years ago. And they really haven't had a stud there since, Who's the bitch ass nigga with the hair? What's his name? His name is escaping me right now. But that guy, his name escaped me. And, you know, fuck him. I don't need to remember anyway. He puts many nightmares in me. But it's been a minute. So what do? They go out and get the best pass rusher in football. So for the Packers, man, look, man, I want to be the Bears fan and say, oh, it don't matter and things like that. It matters, bro. It matters a lot. This is a big-time move. I think this is the inverse of the Khalil Mack move 7 years ago when we made the trade for Khalil Mack like a week before our week one showdown against the Packers. Now, I will say a couple things. Michael Parsons is a way better player than Khalil Mack was at the time, and Khalil Mack was great. Khalil Mack was coming off a defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, but Micah is a different animal. So, yes. Now, I think that this makes them a contender. And I thought about it last night. I saw a couple football minds who I really respect. People like Mina Kimes, people like Chris Long. Now, I'm very picky with what sports media I watch because, you know, a lot of it's shit. Let's just be honest and real. A lot of it's shit. People just doing shit for clicks and, you know, stuff like that. But Mina and Chris Long are one of the two personalities I watch, and you know, I'm learning stuff from because they know the game of football. Obviously, Chris, two-time Super Bowl champion, he was a really good player when he played. He's, you know, birthed in football. You know, his daddy is the great Howie Long. His brother is a great Bear, Kyle Long. And you know, Mina is just one of the best minds football-wise in media right now. So, and they both were like, yo, I think this makes the Packers a contender. And I was like, hold up, let's relax. Then I sat and thought about it. They actually are, because if you look at the landscape of the NFC, now the AFC is very top heavy. The AFC, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You got Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And there's other teams I feel like compete as well. The NFC is kind of like a JV league a little bit, you know, because this is a league that has been pretty much, I don't say dominated, but the Eagles have pretty much run it the last couple of years. And there's really not been a steady number two. You know, the Rams have had some good years. I'm not going to put them in that this year because I believe Matthew Stafford's back is cooked. So I don't believe that's something where the Rams are going to be scaring anybody. I think Washington is going to be there. I'm not, you know, I didn't talk about second year slumps, and we saw that with CJ Stroud last year. CJ, his accuracy was terrible last year. Sometimes it looked like he didn't know what the hell he was throwing. But I'm not expecting a drop-off from Jaden Daniels. I know there's some Bears fans out there who are expecting that. And I just want to say this to Bears fans. I got a lot to say to y'all today, but I just want to say this. Run your own race. Stop worrying about what Washington is doing. You got the quarterback you want. You got the head coach you want. Run your race. Let's not worry about them. But I'm not expecting a drop-off from Jaden. I'm not. I think Jaden's going to continue to be great. I don't know about his team. There was a lot of old dudes on the Commanders last year who played a little bit outside of their, played better than they probably should at that age. I don't know if that's going to translate over. They got Deebo Samuel. I like Deebo. I don't want to call Deebo washed, but Debo's definitely pulling up the Wash Boulevard. So I don't know if that's like a huge, huge thing, but maybe it will be. I don't know. That's a question right there. You know, they got rid of Brian Robinson, who was one of their running backs. They traded him to the Niners. They just brought back Scary Terry, which they absolutely needed. He just got 3 years, $95 million, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a big deal for them. Needed him. They lost Zacchaeus. Alameda Zacchaeus. And I messed up. Shout out to him when I interviewed him. He showed me how to pronounce the name right, and I keep fucking it up anyway. But he was a big part of what they did last year. He was Jaden's safety blanket a lot, and I think he's going to do the same thing for Caleb here. But I don't know how they're going to be team-wise. I'm not worried about Jaden, but I have questions about the roster. But on paper, I will put them as a contender in the NFC. The Eagles are the Eagles. To me, they haven't lost a step. Y'all know I'm still not the biggest Jaden. I'm still not the biggest Jalen Hurd fan. I don't want to call him a system quarterback. He doesn't put fear in my heart, but it doesn't matter because he's a winner. He's a winner. He knows what it takes to win games. He's clutch when he needs to be clutch, and he won a Super Bowl with Super Bowl MVP. So really, what I got to say about Jalen Hurts, Don't matter. He's a winner and he's a champion. The Eagles are going to continue to be great, and I think they continue to be the number one team in the NFC. Then you got the Detroit Lions. Of course, we're going to do a more expansive breakdown on this when we do our full NFL preview show on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, but I expect Detroit to be a little I expect this regular season for Detroit to be a little bumpy for them, because they do not have Ben Johnson and they do not have Aaron Glenn. I don't care how great your team is, when you lose two coordinators, things just aren't the same. You can even see that in New England. When New England lost Romeo Crennel and who's the offensive coordinator? His name is escaping me right now. When they went on to their head coaching jobs, it took a while. You know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they lost both their coordinators. It took a while. So I believe it's going to be a natural regression, and also this is year three of them actually being contenders. Having said that, I think they'll have a rougher regular season, but I think they might be a little more prepared come playoff time. I'm still putting Detroit in this. I'm putting Detroit in three. And number four, I hate to say it, I got to put the Packers in. The Bears season can go anyway, and we'll talk about that on the show later today. It could go really good. I mean, it could go good. It could go great. I don't know. But I'm not putting them in there this early. The Rams, I just brought up the issues with Matthew Stafford's back, so I'm not putting them in there. Cowboys, no. I wouldn't put them there before the market trade, and I'm definitely not putting them there now. So, they take that place. Now, the question here is a question that Bears fans know all too well, and something that, honestly, Packer fans are not familiar with this. Do you have the quarterback? Now, if this Micah trade went down when they had a Brett Favre or they had an Aaron Rodgers, I'd be pissing in my pants right now. But Jordan Love, there's a lot of questions, and I think that people are really starting to come around to this now and realize, you know, he has the traits to be elite, 100%. But having the traits and actually doing it are two different things. Now, he already started this season with a little bit of injury. He had a little preseason surgery. He should be ready to play week one. Haven't heard anything about setbacks or anything like that. But these wide receivers, they're just not star receivers. They're kind of like, you know, random receivers who they just brought out from the Lambeau Field crowd. So I'm not really big on the receivers. I'm not really big on the running game. I think Matt LaFleur is a top-tier play caller. I think Matt LaFleur is a really good head coach as well. But he's going to be the make or break here, because Micah is going to transform that pass rush. And I think their secondary is very sketchy. But if you're getting pressure on a quarterback with a guy like Micah Parsons, who's going to be double teamed a lot, and that's going to open up opportunities for the other pass rushers on the team, which they're going to need to capitalize on. The one thing the Bears had in 2018 when they got Khalil Mack was they had other dogs on the front line as well. You had Hakeem Hicks, you had Eddie Goldman's. You know what I'm saying? You had a nice surplus of players. You had Leonard Floyd. And even though before he really broke out in Los Angeles, but he still had a really good, solid season that year. So those other things. Questions about the other people on this Packers defense outside of Micah. So, yes, there's a lot of question marks here, but I believe Micah's going to be great. And now it's on to see what Jordan Love can do. If Jordan Love messes this up, it's all on Jordan Love's shoulders. And so if Bears fans want anything to hang their heads on, at least be like, Jordan Love's still their quarterback. And just off that, it still gives us a chance, man. So that's all I got to say about Micah for right now. We'll talk about that more on the show. But Jerry Jones, you have made an enemy out of me, okay? I was never a big Jerry Jones fan to begin with. But watching this documentary, which I feel is phenomenal, I didn't have high hopes for this. I thought it would be a lot of Jerry Jones propaganda, which there is a solid amount of Jerry Jones propaganda. This is Jerry's version of the story. And honestly, the reason why I don't have too much of a problem with that, I feel like people aren't honest with themselves when it comes to documentary critiques. The winners tell the story, okay? So every documentary that's ever been put out has some type of propaganda in it. The Last Dance is Michael Jordan's account of the stories. That Lakers documentary that came out on Hulu 2 years is the Buss family's account of stories. the Celtics documentary. It's a Celtics version. So it's we can go up and down. The Patriots documentary on Apple TV that came out a year ago. I feel like that was excellent, but that was Robert Kraft's versions of the story. So yes, this is Jerry Jones' version of the story. Even though I will give Jerry credit in this, he covered a lot of stuff that I did not think they were going to cover. I did not think they were going to get into Troy Aikman's concussions. I did not think that he was going to give Jimmy Johnson an honest side of his side of the story in their 30-year beef. I did not think they would do a full episode on just how much of a wild boy Michael Irvin was in the 90s. And I definitely didn't think he'd do the final episode really breaking down that the Cowboys ain't been nothing in 30 years. So I got to give him credit a little bit from that. But the production value is great. But as I'm watching this, I'm like, am I having sympathy for Jerry Jones? Like, am I liking Jerry Jones a little bit? But all that got wiped out when you decided to send your best player to my ops. Jerry Jones needs to be taken out back. And I watched that press conference last night, 11-minute press conference where this old dude is just rambling. He's just rambling. He's like, you know, he's old. He called Michael like three times, even to the point his son Stephen Jones had to correct him. He was like, Dad, it's Micah, not Michael. Like he's gotten that. And I read body language very well. I believe that body language can talk to you even if you're not saying words. And Stephen Jones' body language, while his old senile father was talking, he made him very uncomfortable. And you could tell that he's like, yo, we just made a terrible move. And I think that Jerry's feelings were hurt. That's what I took from the press conference. And Michael Irvin said the same thing on his podcast, that he feels Jerry's feelings were hurt. Jerry's more of an old school negotiator, even though what he was doing is illegal in the NFL. You have to, if a player has a rep, an agent. Now, I know some don't have it. We all know the Lamar Jackson situation. Some don't have it. You have to negotiate with their agent. David Mulligetta, maybe the best agent in the sport, is always make sure his clients get paid. And I believe Jerry knew how great of a negotiator David Mulligetta is, so he wanted to push him over to the side and just have a heart-to-heart talk with Micah. You know what I'm saying? And he allegedly says Mike agreed to something, and then his agent was like, no, we're going to do this, and that's what made Jerry upset. Whatever. But with this happening this week, fresh off the release of the Cowboy documentary, it really shows you that Jerry Jones is the best thing to happen to the Dallas Cowboys and the worst thing that ever happened to the Dallas Cowboys. This man is 82 years old. This man walks around looking like the Crypt Keeper. This man don't even know how to pronounce the boy's name. Micah is not a hard name to pronounce, brother. So he shouldn't be as active as he is right now. Now, unfortunately, Cowboy fan Stephen Jones, I don't think he's that much better. When I watched Doc, he didn't want to pay Deion. So I don't. And trust me, as a fan of two teams that have terrible owners, the same owner, Mr. Jerry Reinsdorf, another Jerry. I think my man Duke tweeted this yesterday. You can wait out bad coaches. You can wait out a bad roster. You can even wait out a bad front office. You can't wait out bad ownership. This team, there are people on this earth who are 30 years old who don't remember when the Cowboys were good. I'm going to be 37 in 2 months, and I barely remember the 90s Cowboys. Their last Super Bowl, I was 7. When they won their last championships. I barely remember the 90s Cowboys. The Bears have been to more Super Bowls and more NFC championship games than the Dallas Cowboys the last 30 years. You never, ever want to be in that kind of conversation. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been in more AFC championship, have been more championship games than the Cowboys. We can be here all day. So, Jerry Jones, we have an enemy in me for life with this Michael Parsons trade. I just want to say that, man. Let's move on to the Chicago Bears. Training camp is over. Thank God training camp is over. Preseason is over. We are about 9 days away from the first game, I think about 9. I think 9 days. 9 days away from Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. So, I will say this. So, I've been around this team, around the Ben Johnson era since the day I started. And, I will say this. Ben Johnson is I think he's the guy. Now, you know, we're all in the honeymoon phase here before. We've been here with coaches before. We weren't here with Matt Eberflus. Everybody hated that shit from the jump. We've been here with Matt Nagy before. I remember Matt Nagy, oh, my coach is so fired up and da-da-da-da-da. You know, clubbed up, and then, you know, all Bears fans feel like he should be in a penitentiary somewhere right now. So, yeah, things can change. And there's a difference between being a great play caller and a great head coach. So he's going to have a learning path as well. But I really love how, since I've been covering this team, and I've been covering this team since Nagy's last year, went through the whole Flus era, and this looks like a coaching staff, a staff that knows what they're doing. Coaches who are literally the head coaches of their group. So Ben Johnson is the overall head honcho. Antoine Randall is not just a wide receiver coach. He's the assistant head coach, and he's really been doing that. He really, really feels like that. Al Harris, the secondary coach. I don't even remember who the secondary coach was on the team last year. Al Harris has been very vocal. He's been doing what he's been doing and really, really helping out, which I believe is the strongest part of the team, and that is the secondary. He's been great. Eric Bieniemy, you know, who I'm a Bears fan, wanted to be offensive coordinator a couple years ago. He's done great with the running back room. And you're seeing all of the things come together. Now, I got to talk about many things on what this offseason has been, this training camp has been. Now, this is going to sound very bougie of what I'm about to say for somebody who was as blessed to me to be able to go to practices and go to games and things like that. I'm very aware of my privilege here. But I do not believe that training camp should be available to fans. I do not believe that, honestly, I believe that the media should have some of our training camp access cut off. Be 100% real with you. I believe we should be able to watch. I don't think we should be able to report what we're seeing. I don't. It's practice. And this is not just a Bears thing. This is the NFL thing. Like, we have too many breakdowns on preseason games that, in my opinion, preseason games do not matter to me. And what I mean by that is, if you decide to play your players in preseason, great, awesome. If you don't decide to play your players in preseason, I don't think it matters that much. And I know a lot of people debate me on that. That's fine. I'm not debating that. I've been debating that for the last month. I'm not doing that shit again. And the Bears played preseason this year. So we'll see if it changes anything or not. I've seen the Bears play their starters in preseason a lot and be terrible in the regular season. Last year's an example. I've seen the Bears not play their starters in the preseason at all and go on to win the division like they did in 2018. So, but whatever. I just think it's over-analyzing things. Why are you counting snaps and completion percentage as a media member in training camp? It's just too much, man. If there's any place where you're supposed to make mistakes, it is in practice. So that's my thing on this. And I think that there's been a lot of bad messages being sent to the fan base, and I blame national media more than anything. You know, I definitely have my issues with some other local media. I'm not going to say names, obviously, because I work with these people, but there's some that I feel don't do the best job they could covering this team, giving the fans the correct information. I just think there's agendas that I won't speak on. I just sit right there. But the national media has done such a bad job, specifically Colin Cowherd. I have no problem with calling people out because I think it's bullshit what Colin Cowherd is doing. A year ago, Colin Cowherd was one of Caleb's biggest champions. But when he moved to Chicago and he thought he was going to get access to Caleb and he thought he was going to get access to the Bears, and they were like, eh-eh. Especially with that story that came out, that book, that Wickersham book that came out about the Viking stuff. He turned on him. Now he's saying that Ben Johnson doesn't want Caleb, which is hilarious. As a guy who's there every day, it's complete utter bullshit. And then you got Jason McIntyre's lame ass up there. He blocked me because he's a fucking coward. But you know, it's just too much. And I say the good thing here is that it doesn't bother Caleb in whatsoever. If you want to look at anything from last year, if you want to take anything from last year, you know, I think the numbers were what they were. You know, it broke a lot of rookie records. And if you look at just the numbers, you go, it was a solid rookie season. But, of course, you got to look just the numbers. It was very much a mediocre season last year. You know, it was a lot more downs than ups last year if we're looking outside of the numbers for Caleb Williams. But the number one thing I took from him is this dude is tough. This dude is tough. This is not a tough, this is not an easy city to play in. Like, I know USC is big in Los Angeles. Trust me. If anybody knows it's me, I lived in Los Angeles for an entire decade. I know how important the Trojans are to Los Angeles. That is their pro football team. Not the Rams, not the Chargers, the Trojans. But it is nowhere near the media scrutiny that you're going to get trying to be the Bears' savior quarterback, a city that we have never seen a great quarterback. The best quarterback we have in our existence is Jay Cutler. That tells you everything they do. And for him to go through all the stuff he went through last year and to not say a peep, not say a word, is excellent. But we're talking about expectations, and I've been saying this maybe since week two, week three of training camp. Bears fans need to temper expectations. I think there's a lot of people that want this offense to come out, look like the best show on turf right away. And let's be real, that could happen. I'm not saying that's totally off the table. It could happen. I wouldn't bet on it because you got to understand this is a lot of stuff that Ben Johnson, his offense is very complicated. Even for guys like Case Keenum, who are vets, they said, oh, yeah, you know, sometimes it takes a minute for you to learn this stuff. So not only is he learning a new offense, learning how to play in the pocket, learning how to get the ball out quicker. He has to unlearn all the BS that Eberflus and Waldron and that idiot staff were teaching him last year. So it's going to take a minute. And I do think he's made great progress. I think he had a pretty solid training camp. I think he's had a solid preseason. He looked really good against Buffalo, against their second and third stringers. Didn't come out so hot last Friday against Kansas City in the first couple drives, but in the way he ended the half. And kudos to Ben Johnson for keeping the starters out there because not wanting to end it on a bad drive. And he went out there and got a touchdown in Roman Dunsett. All I'm saying is this is going to take a while. It's going to be weeks where it's going to look great. It's going to, it's the best offense we've seen with the Bears. It's going to be weeks where it don't look as good. And Caleb's going to mess up a little bit. And there's going to be overreactions. My date for reacting, and my, just me, I'll be trying to tell Bears fans how to react, how to be a fan, and they don't be listening to me. But it's a battle that I will continue to fight. It's very clear about that. I'm going to continue to say it. But my thing is the Cincinnati game is my marker as far as when I need this offense to look consistently good. That's eight games. That's week nine, but that's eight games because we got an early bye week this year. And if it looks – I think that's when you're going to really start to see it click. And that's why I think it should be. I'm not going to go into my specifics, obviously. We're going to do that at 4 p.m. on the I'm Not Going to Hold You Bears special when we get into more specifics. But I will say this for Bears fan. I believe this is going to be a 500-ass season. It's going to be two steps forward, three steps back. Three steps forward, two steps back. It's going to be a lot of that. And as long as you prepare yourself for that, you will be fine. But if you got these over-the-top expectations, I believe there's going to be a great chance that you're going to be disappointed early on. Now, like I said, I could be wrong. This offense could come out hitting on all cylinders, Cam looking great, and it's all happy days in Bearland. That could happen as well. I think everything is on the table, to be completely honest with you. But I'm just telling you, be patient. So, yeah, 4 p.m. Chicago time, 5 p.m. New York time. I'm not going to hold you. Bear special. We're going to go through all of it today. All of this. Make sure y'all tune into that on this channel as well. Got one last thing I want to talk about. And I had an interview that I was going to play on here, man. I had an interview. Me and homie Frazier Thorpe, he is the editor over at GQ. He's done a lot of great things. He's interviewed the Clips, things like that, one of the homies. I did an interview with him like a month and a half ago. And with training camp, traveling, New York, whole thing, I didn't get a chance to drop it. I was going to drop it today. But my Mac has really been tweaking lately, and the file got fucked up. So I'm going to try to hit Frazier today, see if we can re-record sometime. I don't know. I'm really disappointed about that, but I was going to drop it on there, but I don't have a foul. It messed up on me. But we're going to close this with some footy talk or soccer for those for us Americans who had to call it that. I call it football. I call it football unless I'm talking about the NFL. Then I call it NFL. That's when my American kicks in. But if you think about it, soccer really has a better claim to the word football than the NFL does. I'm going to say this. Why? Because, well, not just NFL, American football. Because they're actually kicking the ball with their foot. Does that make sense? Basketball, it's going into a basket. Baseball, you're running the bases. Why is American football called football? The only time the foot makes connection with the ball is when there's a punt or a field goal or a kickoff. I never understood that. But I call football unless I'm talking about the NFL. But anyway, man, life as an Arsenal fan has been great. Man, I'll say this. What I've learned in my 6 months of being a fan, nobody likes Arsenal. Nobody likes it. There's a big Arsenal tax. Now, I do not know the reason for that. Now, granted, I have been entrenched in Arsenal Twitter throughout the fan base. I've talked to a lot of cool people in there. There's been a lot of people who ain't that cool, a lot of overreacting people. But that's with any fan base, honestly. I talk to Bears fans all the fucking time, so this isn't really new to me. But the outsiders do not like Arsenal. And I don't know if this when they grew up, Arsenal was a great team, and they were kicking everybody ass. Maybe they hate them. But to me, it's kind of similar to Cowboy, Laker, Celtic hate, and my Patriots a little bit too. But this has been a good week for us. You know, team starting off, you know, 6 points on the table, and we got all six. Great summer window, getting Victor Yacarez as a striker, you know, really rebuilding this depth. You know, the last couple of the games I watched last season, I came in mid-March, and the Premier League race was pretty much over for Arsenal at the time. It was all about the Champions League chase and dealing with a lot of injuries, and the depth was so bad. Andrea Berta, the sporting director for Arsenal, has really done a great job adding to that depth. You know, getting Noni Madueke, getting Christian Mosquera, getting a Christian Norgaard, you know, getting, you know, all the, you know, he's got a couple more deals lined up right now, might be done. I haven't checked my phone in a minute. This team is stacked front to back. This team, in my opinion, now has two starting 11s, which is really good for competitions. You know, with the Carabao Cup, shout out to Man United, got eliminated in the first round. How the fuck is it still August and you only in one competition? But whatever. And it's also funny because a lot of Man United fans told me that I need to root for Man United. That's why I do not listen to you people. This team is deep enough for these competitions, for Carabao Cup, for FA Cup. They have a team that I believe can win the Champions League. And obviously they have a team that can win the Premier League, which is going to be tough, and it's going to be even tougher if they get Alexander Isak, like I believe is going to happen before Monday. I've already chalked that up to that happening. And it doesn't really change it that much to me unless they also go out there and get a defender, because to me, that's where you can get them. Their defense is very leaky. They have not been impressive in these first three games for them. Now, granted, they won 2 out of 3, so I guess it don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but points-wise, but it still matters. So, and then last week, getting Eberechi Eze. Now, I have been a fan of Eze from the moment I started watching this sport, because I've been looking up all the black players, and I was like, oh, this dude, he's nice. And I watched a lot of Palace games when I first started watching the season, trying to figure out who was going to be my team. And I really drew myself to Eze. He's a great player. I love how he played in the FA Cup semifinal, and especially in the final, he was dominant. And, you know, watching some of his interviews, reading about it, so he just looks like a nice dude. And, you know, then the Arsenal news started happening. Through the summer, I was pretty confident. I said, yo, we're going to get Eze. It's probably going to be the last move, like, towards the end of August, but I believe we're going to get him. And that never wavered until the Spurs news. And I kind of chalked up to, damn, man, now he's going to go to the Ops, you know what I'm saying? But went down, the video that they did, and I thought a lot of the intro videos, I think – Arsenal does a solid job on the intro video. I think the last couple have been lazy. The Yacarez one was really lazy. But this one was amazing. Amazing, man. It gave me chills just how good the intro was with Ian Wright, another guy who started his career at Crystal Palace and came over to Arsenal, became a champion, became a Premier League Hall of Famer. As they can be on that same path as well. So that was really, really good. It's been fun. They got a big matchup this Sunday against Liverpool, which I am excited and a little nervous for. This is a game that I feel like we got to make a statement. We got to go out there and win. Now, a draw, I won't be mad about a draw. You leave out of Anfield with any type of points, I feel like it's good. But the Arsenal's ready. Now, Grant, I know I'm new. I'm new to the party. There's a lot of fans out there. majority of the fans have been, you know, either this is their boyhood, girlhood club, or, you know, last couple years, you know, finishing third. Now, the last time Arsenal finished third 3 years in a row, they ended up winning the double. They won the Premier League and they won the FA Cup in the 2001-2002 season. So maybe that happens again today. But I think, and this thing, how you notice a stack team, because Arsenal has a lot of injuries right now. You got Kai Havertz just had surgery after getting hurt in the first game against United. He's going to be out a couple weeks. Mikel didn't really give us too much today. He said a couple weeks or a couple months. So he's going to be out for a minute. Now, that's going to put a lot more pressure on Gyökeres. I don't know if we dip back into the market these next couple days and try to get another striker to add in his absence. I don't know if Gabriel Jesus is back in training. They expect him back in October. I think whatever you can get from Gabby, I think is great. I don't think you can put too much expectation on him. So whatever you get is great. So I don't know. They might do that. Either way, Gyökeres, there's a lot more pressure on him there. But you got Bukayo Saka is out again, out after having a great goal last week against Leeds. But good news is it's not the same hamstring that he tore last year. It's in a different leg, and he just really needs a couple weeks off his feet. No surgery required. There's rumors that he can be back for the game against Forest after the international break, which is next week. Mikel didn't really confirm that. He said, we're just going to take it day by day and week by week, see how he responds to treatment because we don't want to rush him back. I personally wouldn't bring him back to that Champions League game that week or the City game that week. I feel like we can win. We can beat Forest without him unless he's 100% fit. You don't want him to. Hamstrings are tough. You know, there's two injuries that just linger. Groin injuries and his hamstrings. So you got that. You got the captain, Martin Odegaard. You know, he's got a shoulder situation right now. Now, he's not 100% out for Sunday. Mikel says if he trains tomorrow, there's a good chance he can play on Sunday. So we'll see. Either way, this team is stacked. And you probably be worried about going to Anfield with missing your best player and your captain. But I feel like this team can still get it done regardless. But now it's all on Mikel Arteta, and now it's all on the players to actually get the job done. It's been 5 years since you've won a trophy, period. It's been 21 years since you won a Premier League. You've never won the Champions League in your entire history. For some reason, great as Arsenal has been domestically, they've just not been good in European competition. So this is your chance right now. I am fully convinced that they're going to come home with one of the big two and one of the domestic cups. I think we're going to double this year. Obviously, I don't know. I'm still learning in my soccer football knowledge, but from everything that I've been, and y'all don't, I don't have even people who know just how much I know about the sport in these last 6-7 months. Y'all don't even know how much I know. Like, I have been in the lab, brother. I know a lot about this sport, not just the game plan, strategy, positions, the current teams. I know the past history, just because I get real obsessive about things when I like stuff. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to getting through this entire 10-month journey, seeing how it ends up. I'm very confident in that. And, you know, Eze, I think he's going to take this team to another level. I think he was a great player as it was in Palace. And I think playing for his boyhood club is just going to take it to another level. Playing for a big-time club is going to take it to another level. He used to play European football for the first time in his life. I think that's going to be great. I think I won't say it's theirs to lose. I probably think that Liverpool should probably still be the favorite, especially if they get Alexander Isak, which I'm about 90% sure it's going to happen. Not that I would be stunned if it didn't, but I just feel in most scenarios in sports, NFL being the only exception, when a player wants to go somewhere, they usually get their wish because you don't want a disgruntled player. There's a lot more player empowerment. Now, the team might prolong that exit as long as they can. We saw Sporting did everything in their power to try to make sure we didn't get Victor Gyökeres, but, you know, we ended up getting them. I do believe that, you know, wouldn't shock me if Newcastle plays hardball. You know, we've heard that they have Saudi ownership. They're going to make the final decision. They might tell them, yo, you got 3 years left in your deal. Sit the hell down. So that could happen too, but I believe that he will be a Liverpool player before the deadline on Monday. That I'm just expecting that. And I can live with that. I still love our chances, even with them getting Isak. You know, Isak, I believe, is a really good striker. But he's very injury prone. And I feel like defense is the number one issue. So unless, you know, as long as they don't add to the defense, I really like Arsenal's chances regarding this. So it's just up to them. So I think that Liverpool should be the favorites, but I definitely think Arsenal have their best chance to win the title since the Invincible. So it's gonna be fun to watch. Now we talk about European football. The Champions League draw came out. Pretty easy league phase, I believe, for Arsenal. There's only two matchups on there that I deem as tough. Now that don't mean you can't lose it, but you know, Bayern is a tough game. And Inter is a tough game. Got to go on the road for Inter. But Bayern, I think a lot of, from what I've heard, Arsenal, once they look back from when they got eliminated out of Champions League by them 2 years ago, you also add to the fact that one of the biggest Arsenal killers, Harry Kane, plays for them as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing all that, man. It's going to be fun. But that is all I have got for y'all today on this episode of the Scott Lewis Podcast. I don't know how often I'm going to record these. I don't want to sit up here and tell y'all going to get one once a week, because I can't guarantee that with a whole bunch of stuff that I'm doing throughout the week. With obviously, I'm not going to hold you twice a week. We're going to be doing summer sessions. And I know y'all ain't got summer sessions in months. We're going to be back doing summer sessions again. You know, 79th and Hallis is going to be twice a week. So I can't guarantee this. Whenever I have time to do it and I have stuff to talk about, then I'll do it. So, but I appreciate everybody who subscribed to the channel. A lot more heat coming. The football season is here. I'm not going to hold you back. I will see y'all in a couple hours for the show, man. We up out of here.